Hey, my pleasure. Good to be with you both.
Well, we can't say Happy Mother's Day to you, but we can talk about your mom. Tell us if you had the opportunity to give your mother a Mother's Day message right here on the air, what would you say to your mom?
Mom, thanks. Thanks for being patient. Because I know I wasn't the easiest to raise, but I appreciate your love and the guidance.
Now, I can't, the whole patience thing. I have a brother my very same age, Bill, that I'm surprised that there wasn't a legislation written against having brothers the same age. Patience was a big thing for my mom. And of course, you have a wonderful wife, too, Natalie. And tell us about her on this Mother's Day.
Well, Natalie's an amazing woman who is doing an incredible job as a mom to five great kids, and they're great kids because she's such an incredible mom. So we're very blessed as a family.
Well, we had someone in, I can't remember who it was, but I mentioned that every once in a while I'll ask you, how should we pray for you, Bill? And the first thing you always say, it's never that, wisdom to vote correctly or guidance. It's always, hey, pray for my family, pray for Natalie, pray for the kids. Always the first thing that you mention, and I always admire that about you.
Well, that's it's about priorities, and it's about having those priorities in the proper order. And for me, it's God, and then my family, and then work. And it's a balance that is sometimes difficult to maintain. We just in our lives, we just always want to make those things that should be further down the list higher on the list. But Natalie's an amazing woman who keeps it all in perspective as well and helps me be a better dad and a better husband.
You know, my wife always says, behind every good man is a woman rolling her eyes.
My grandma always said, with every good man, there's the man is the head and the wife is the neck.
There you go.
Yes.
quietly agree with that, yeah.
The head turns where the neck wants it.
But Natalie did a great job representing you at the governor's luncheon.
I heard that she was there, and our good mayor made quite a splash.
Hey, he could be joining you in Washington soon.
Didn't you see him last night?
I did. He was out here in Washington for the Netherlands American Foundation dinner, and I was very kindly bestowed with an award named after an ambassador, Middendorf.
And, cool.
It was very much an honor, and Kurt was the master of ceremonies and does a great job. So in my acceptance speech, I did slide in a Dykstra for Senate line. So.
All right.
Did he have a video to go with that, or did he just kind of
I didn't. We're dealing with sequester here in the federal government. We don't have money to do videos
nothing from the bowels of the windmill or anything.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, let's get to business today. Talk about a little bit what's going on in Washington. Read the story this morning that the House considering raising that debt ceiling again, but it seems to have some strings attached to it that the folks in the Senate and the folks at the White House aren't going to like. Tell us about this debt prioritization.
What we passed yesterday is something that says as we are going forward, looking at our spending as a country and those kinds of things, we need to make sure that we've got our priorities in order. And one of the things that has been hanging over our government funding has been default, and frankly, defaulting on our debt is not acceptable. That puts the full faith and credit of the United States at risk. It will dramatically increase our borrowing costs, all those things. So what this legislation says is that first and foremost, we're going to take care of Social Security, and then we're going to make sure that those who we owe this money to, this interest on this debt, are going to get paid. And then from there, we're going to, we're going to take care of the other government funding things. So to me, it makes a lot of sense how we can take this whole debate and this issue about the government defaulting, which nobody wants it to happen, but it's been used as a political football by the administration. So this sort of removes that and says at the same time we're going to make sure that we're taking care of our seniors.
Yeah, it kind of stops you, that this bill stops Washington from kind of kicking it down the road again. I mean, that's what we talk about every time we talk about this debt ceiling and the nation's debt, is we're just going to kick it down the road again for just a little while longer. This sounds like it's going to stop that mentality.
Well, it's a step towards it. It doesn't completely stop it, but I can tell you that is a huge frustration that I have, is that we just aren't willing to deal with making tough decisions on our spending. And you know, whether it's Nancy and Kurt Dykstra over at the City of Holland or the City of Zeeland, any of the surrounding townships, the state of Michigan, you know, they all have had to make very difficult choices with limited funds, and mm-hmm. federal government just doesn't seem to want to do that.
Well, if you open up a newspaper and go about two-thirds of the way back, you might hear something about a little place called Benghazi. You're not going to see it on the front pages of a lot of newspapers or a lot of websites, not right there on the top half of the page. But it was a big deal in Washington this week and in the House committee hearings. Are we going to see more of these hearings, or is this all done?
No, it's not done. It was absolutely riveting testimony.
Oh, yeah.
Emotional,
too. Greg, very emotional.
I don't know how you could look at this and say somehow this was political. You know, and that's been some of the charge against these men. And I mean, these are career diplomats. Craig Hicks has been in the State Department for 22 years. He has a perspective that no one else can have, on top of the fact that he was in country. You know, he was there, talking to Ambassador Stevens before he was killed, just an amazing tragedy and huge errors in judgment, both during and after, and by this administration, it appears, to somehow say that and blame this on spontaneous violence coming out of a protest is absolutely ridiculous, and I think that was something that really struck me listening to Mr. Hicks was when he said, you know, he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed when he saw our Ambassador Susan Rice and Secretary Clinton out there pushing this whole storyline of this really wasn't planned, wasn't coordinated. It was just a spontaneous attack. Or spontaneous spillover of a protest. It's like it clearly was not, and they knew it right from the get go on the ground. And why they would not acknowledge that is beyond me.
You must feel like you're watching a reenactment of The Emperor Has No Clothes, and everybody's just sitting there.
Yeah,
it was very, very strange.
Is this a preemptive attack for the next political cycle? I mean, are we putting Hillary Clinton on notice right now, saying, you know, you can't lie to us about this, but we're gonna muddy you up right now? Is there a little bit of politics being played here, or is it really? We just need to get to the bottom of what happened so that this can't ever happen again.
In my mind, Jason, this is about the truth and getting to the bottom of what really happened, not only for the American people, but more importantly for these families who lost their loved ones.
Absolutely.
And that's a key thing here. And look, it is 4 years away before we have this next election. And if we can't have hearings about anyone or involve anyone who may run for president or may not run for president, then we might as well do nothing out here. It's ridiculous to have these charges that somehow this is a smear campaign against Hillary Clinton. Now, this is about the truth, and this is about getting to the bottom of it.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you want to talk to us about, the Working Families Flexibility Act?
Well, this was a neat thing as we were going into Mother's Day here this week. The Working Families Flexibility Act is a bill sponsored by a good friend of mine. Her name is Martha Roby from Alabama, And Martha's got young kids, a 4-year-old and I believe a 10-year-old. And the pressures of what it's like being a working parent is very evident, very very challenging, of course, no matter what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And for a number of years now, the public sector employees have had the ability to have flex time. So in other words, if they needed to take time off for a class trip or a doctor's appointment or something like that, they didn't have to use a vacation day. They could take this time and make it up later without having to deal with overtime and a number of those other things that that were sort of automatically mandated. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good enough for the public sector, but it's not legal in the private sector. And, you know, it's crazy to me that we would not allow that. And so this bill would allow that, not mandate, but allow companies to negotiate that and work that out with their employees. And very much a family-friendly piece of legislation. And so many people said, if it's good enough for government workers, it ought to be good enough for the private sector.
Yeah, well, it's not that they're not going to do the work. The work's going to get done. They're just taking time for family and filling in then later, right?
That's exactly right.
All right, Bill, well, we appreciate you taking time to talk to us on this day before the Mother's Day weekend. And again, for all of us here in West Michigan, wish your mother, your wife, a happy Mother's Day for us, okay?
I will certainly do that.
Thanks
and
for being with us.
You guys as well.
All right, thank you
very
much.
Bye, Bill.
All right, bye-bye.